Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, welcome to Connecting Faith on this beautiful afternoon. As you know, we are always about ways to incorporate our faith into everyday life. And today we are going to talk about the power that God has to heal. And we're going to look specifically at God's power to bring freedom to those who are bound by an eating disorder. Maybe you know someone who has struggled with an eating disorder. Many of us do. Or maybe you yourself have struggled with anorexia or bulimia or binge eating. Well, the sad truth is that when life is spinning out of control, like it is for so many of us at times, many, and especially young girls, in their attempt to kind of regain their footing, turn to controlling food. And the troubling statistics will tell us that this will oftentimes lead to an eating disorder. In fact, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, one in five women struggles with an eating disorder or some sort of disordered eating. And for females between the ages of 15 and 24, the mortality rate associated with anorexia is more than 10 times higher than the death rate of all other causes of death. So this week is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and as part of supporting those who struggle with an eating disorder or a distorted body image of any type, we are going to be talking with Nancy Elkhorn. She is a woman who has dedicated her life's work to helping young girls find freedom from addiction, eating disorders, and any self-harming behaviors. So let me introduce you to her, and we will get started with the show. Nancy Elkhorn spent the first 8 years of her career working for the state of Tennessee. Her time with the government included 5 years with the Department of Corrections, working with juvenile delinquent girls, and 3 years with the Department of Human Services, working in emergency protective services, investigating child abuse cases, and supervising foster care. And through her experience, she began to realize that only Jesus could bring about restoration into the lives of girls who were desperately hurting and searching for something to fill the void that they felt in their hearts. Nancy said she knew that God was unfolding a plan, prompting her to step out in faith to help hurting young women. And in 1983, she founded Mercy Ministries. It's a free-of-charge Christian residential program that helps young women between the ages of 13 and 28 who face life-controlling issues such as eating disorders, self-harm, drug and alcohol addictions, depressions, and unplanned pregnancy. Since that time, numerous residential and outreach programs have been established in various locations across America and other nations around the world. Nancy's an author, and she frequently speaks at conferences around the world. She resides in Nashville, Tennessee, which is also the home of the national headquarters of Mercy Ministries. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm so glad that we have an entire week where the nation can focus or the world can focus on eating disorders. It seems like a problem, an issue that is wide-ranging and affects so many girls, especially young girls, and I know it affects men too. But it's just great to get this out in the open so that people feel like they can talk about it. Does it seem like in the last several years this has become not such a taboo subject, but something where awareness has occurred so that we can talk about it more?
Yes, absolutely, Joe. That's absolutely correct. In fact, I remember even myself, I'm 59 years old, and even when I was in college, I myself had an eating disorder, bulimia, and binge eating, and no one talked about that. And in fact, several of my friends, we didn't even talk about it then, but when we were much older, we actually confessed to each other that we had that issue going on, even my own sister. And but everybody hid it, and it wasn't until the time, I think, that Pat Boone's daughter brought awareness to it after a well-known singer, Karen Carpenter, passed away as a result of an eating disorder. It was only then that people began to slowly talk about it. And I remember when I had an eating disorder, nobody ever talked about it, and I didn't even understand what was happening to me. But now, thank God, we are people like you who are willing to do this awareness during this Eating Disorders Awareness Week, talk about what's happening. And the thing that I think grips me the most is what you said in your introduction about the mortality rate of girls, young girls, I believe you said between, did you say 16 15 and 24?
Between 15 and 24, that mortality rate for anorexia is 10 times higher than the death rate of all other causes of death.
And if you think about that, that is an astounding statistic. And unfortunately, I know young women that were in that age group that were on our waiting list trying to get into Mercy to get help that actually are part of that staff.
Oh.
And that's heart-wrenching when we have four facilities regionally located across the United States and then three internationally. And because our program is free of charge, so many of the girls and their families have spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in treatment programs and still come out with suffering from the eating disorder. And because of our girls that are out there talking about freedom, usually when you go to a treatment program, they treat symptoms and they tell you, once you have an eating disorder, you'll always have it. But that's not true. Even in my life, I mean, Jesus Christ set me free years ago, and he is still in the setting free business today. And freedom is available and possible, but only through the power of Christ to literally break those chains of bondage. But we have so many young women out there as advocates and ambassadors for Mercy that have been through our program over the last 30 years that are out there telling their story. And we even have one girl who was in a psychiatric ward suffering from an eating disorder. And she came to Mercy in 1997. And the reason her story's on my mind is because she just spoke with me at an event in Los Angeles last week. But in 1997, and she was told she'd never be able to get help, and she got set free at Mercy, went back to school, got her master's degree in social work, and actually went back as a psychiatric social worker in the same unit that she was in as a patient. And she would, after they would spend their time there, she would tell them they needed to go to Mercy Ministries because that's where she got help. So that's kind of a fun story.
Well, it's just such a testament to the fact that God has the power to heal from any infirmity, from any addiction. We've seen just an explosion of treatment facilities that are Christ-centered for addiction and recovery. And so knowing that Mercy offers this kind of treatment facility for this approach for women and young girls, especially who are suffering from an eating disorder, is just wonderful. So thank you for starting that. And I love that we get to make it aware, to make people aware of it today.
Well, I love it that more Christ-centered programs are being raised up because that's what we need, and Mercy is one, and we certainly can't even begin to put a dent in the issue, but for those who come to us, like the other Christ-centered treatment programs, we can make a difference because we have the freedom to share. And one interesting thing that happened, Vanderbilt University is known for around the country for being one of the leading eating disorder treatment programs, but it is not a Christ-centered treatment program. And so the doctor that heads up that unit, several years ago, he called and asked if he could make an appointment with me to come and talk. And so when he got there, I was shocked that he did. And so when he got there, I had the head of our counseling department with me and our program director for our home. And so we met with him, and he said, I'm going to be quite frank with you. He said, I've had a number of patients that have been through our program, and they end up still, not getting help, and then they come through your program, and they end up coming back to me and telling me that they're free. And he goes, I've never heard of such a thing. And he said, I want to know what y'all are doing that's different from what we're doing. And I thought it was so cool that he, we tried to explain. He was like a different religion altogether, and I won't say which one, but it was definitely not Christian. And I tried to explain to him about what happens when you receive Christ and he begins to transform you on the inside through the power of his word and prayer and all that. And he tried to understand, but it was kind of like a dog, when you're trying to talk to a dog and they turn their head both ways and kind of look at you like, I don't get what you're saying. It was kind of like that with him, but I respected him so much because he came and acknowledged that he could see that lives were being changed. He just didn't understand. He wanted to know. And I thought that was so cool.
Oh, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? Maybe you could shed some light on eating disorders in general. Many people believe that an eating disorder is just people wanting to be thin, but there's so much more to it than that. Can you explain a little bit?
Absolutely. There is so much more than that. I mean, one of the big issues about an eating disorder, first of all, is control. A lot of young women, for example, I mean, this would not be true of everybody, but a lot of young women that have eating disorders have also been sexually abused. And some of the experts would say there's no link between that, but we found at Mercy Ministries that there's definitely a link between the girls that come in and those that have suffered from those who are suffering from eating disorders. But it's a control deal, everything in their life is so out of control that they begin to focus on food, and it gives them power, feeling like they can, that they can, this is one thing that I can control in my life. And so it begins to, where the interesting thing is they think they're in control, but it begins to control them. And then it gets out of control, and so many of them suffer from not only that, but then the other thing that happens is that they begin to self-harm because they feel that, they deserve to be
punished.
Punished, absolutely. And so, and then there's also one of the things that people may or may not be aware of is that there are actually pro-ano websites out there that actually promote eating disorder behavior among youth. And, as you alluded to earlier, there are different types of eating disorders that, anorexia is the one where, you starve yourself to death, but bulimia is and binge eating, that is tied to extreme emotions, attitudes, and behavior surrounding weight and food issues. But it's also tied to, serious emotional and physical problems that can have life-threatening consequences. And you mentioned, males, and it is becoming more prevalent. Even though it's more prevalent in females, it's actually becoming more and more prevalent in males. But it's a complex issue because there's so many factors that enter into. And for some girls, it's just, I had one girl one time that almost died from an eating disorder, and she said hers started when her father, as she came into puberty, commented on her that she was getting fat.
Mm.
And it's amazing how one little thing can trigger such a lengthy disorder as that. But different girls will say different things, or maybe a boyfriend said something. Or maybe, like I said, it's the only thing they can control because of abuse issues and emotional problems in the home. And another young lady developed an eating disorder after one of her parents had an affair, and they went through a divorce, and there was just a lot of emotional things going on in the home, and she felt so out of control that she began to restrict her eating. And when she came to us, she was like 70 pounds and in grave danger of losing her life. But thankfully that girl was able to get the help she needed, and she went back to school and got her degree, ended up getting her doctorate degree and wrote her thesis on eating disorders. And today she is living in Australia and is considered to be one of the leading experts there in her field.
How about just the pressure that young people, especially teenagers, are under now to achieve and succeed, whether it's, getting great grades or succeeding in sports or really in anything? There seems to be a great amount of pressure on teenagers these days. Does that possibly attribute to some of these feelings of kind of being out of control and could lead to an eating disorder?
It absolutely does. I've talked to gymnast coaches. I've talked to track coaches at major universities here that actually support the work of Mercy Ministries, and have also sent players to us that have developed eating disorders as a result of, it's definitely a performance-based thing for some people, like athletes, like you say. And for those that are involved in the modeling world, I mean, they are constantly young women who you know, are paid, you know, to model. They are those that pay them. They're constantly the agencies that they work for are constantly on them about what they eat. And you've got to be thin. You got to look a certain way. And that's where a lot of girls in that profession begin to develop eating disorders because of the pressure that's put on them. And then other young women that just young women that are out there living their lives, and they maybe not be an athlete or a model or a cheerleader, but they experience the peer pressure of, you know, the magazine covers and the way that girls look. And what they don't realize is that they are photoshopped, and, you know, they'll literally trim weight off of some of those people so that they look real thin, and that there's that pressure too to look a certain way.
Sure. It just seems like there's an enormous amount of pressure on young people these days. Well, Nancy, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I would love to just talk a little bit about your book, Starved, and also how you outline a process for obtaining freedom from a food addiction. And of course, it starts with a relationship with Christ. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. You're listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and we will be right back with Nancy Alcorn.
Faith Radio's mission is to lead people to Christ and nurture you in your spiritual growth through Christ-centered media. We recently connected online with David from Bangladesh.
I'm so glad to have been introduced to MyFaithRadio.com. I like to listen to Faith Radio, which I get through this address online. It's my wish that God will expand His ministry everywhere in the world.
MyFaithRadio.com crosses borders and even oceans. Log on today at MyFaithRadio.com and join the conversation helping to spread the message of Faith Radio.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Are you new to the station? Well, welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. We have a new listener packet that's designed for friends just like you. It tells you a little bit about the station, who we are, why we exist, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest. It's yours free for the asking at MyFaithRadio.com. Check it out. It's MyFaithRadio.com. It's the new listener packet. Request yours today.
Well, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Today we're talking with Nancy Alcorn. Nancy is an author and also the founder of Mercy Ministries. Mercy Ministries is an eating disorder and, it's a clinic that serves many, many forms of addiction and recovery having to do with eating disorders and self-harm as well. I'll let her explain more about that and how it is that they began to bring girls through a process of obtaining freedom from these addictions. And it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Nancy, in your book Starved, you outline kind of a process, a way that people can begin obtaining freedom from this jail that they find themselves in, and it's starting with a food addiction. Can you tell us just how you began the process of restoring these young women?
Yes. First of all, you know, a lot of the girls obviously have poor self-image issues, and their identity is in the way they look and how much they weigh and all that kind of thing. And so we start, and then as I spoke about earlier, there's the control is a big thing. So when they come to Mercy, you know, what we begin to focus on is, look, we're not going to focus on the outward person here. We want to focus on the inward person. And it starts by helping them understand that they need to surrender control. And I know when I was trying to control all the things that I couldn't control in my life, once I surrendered that particular area of my life to Christ, then things begin to change. So we want to get to the inside of a person and help them understand, because many of the girls have been in treatment programs where they treat symptoms, but they never tell them they can be set free. So we immediately take them to scripture and we share things with them, like where Deuteronomy 30:19, for example, it says, "This day I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you and your seed may live." And our counseling model is called Choices That Bring Change. And we tell them unlike what you've been told, that you'll, once you're, you know, like drug addicts, for example, we deal with girls who have drug addictions as well. We deal with girls with unplanned pregnancy. We deal with girls who have been in prostitution, coming out of sex trafficking, sexually abused. And we tell all the girls, whatever the problem is, Jesus is the answer. So it's really not that much different for any of the issues, but it's getting to the root of where, you know, where this is. And we help the girls identify what the root causes are. For example, what is your first memory of being triggered in toward an eating disorder? And I mentioned earlier, one girl said it was when her father told her she was fat when she was about 12 or 13, and she started filling out. He mentioned that, and that just stuck with her. And so then it became, that led her into a full-on eating disorder. For others, it's emotional things. But what we do is we start by telling them, we have to change their mindset, and it comes by helping them, first of all, surrender to Christ, and then we teach them to begin to identify with who they are in Christ instead of identifying with the fact that they have an eating disorder, and they'll always have an eating disorder because so much of that has been ingrained in them. So we have to help them renew their minds to the truth of what God's Word says, that, you know, scriptures such as if any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. And we help them realize and see. We call it replacing lies with truth. Or another way we deal with it is like ungodly beliefs versus godly beliefs.
You have a great section at the end of your book where you do exactly that. You write down what is the ungodly belief that someone feels, and then how do we confront that with the reality of who we are in Christ, right?
Exactly. And it's so powerful when the girls, and we teach them to speak of themselves, you know, that, for example, a girl that says, I'm ugly and I'm fat, or I'm ugly. I mean, it's amazing. One time I had a girl who was 75 pounds that looked in the mirror, and she's staring herself in the mirror, and I said, Christy, tell me what you see when you look in the mirror. And she goes, I see a fat girl. And I said, well, let me tell you what we see, the rest of us see? And she said, yes. And I said, we see a girl who looks like a skeleton with skin on it. And she went, oh, and put her hand over her mouth. And there is literally, which I think is somewhat somewhat demonic, but there's literally a distortion, a physical distortion of some of the girls when they look in the mirror and they literally see, even though we see someone who looks like they're about to die from an eating disorder, skin and bones, they see a fat girl. So what we do is I'm fat, I'm ugly, all that. So that's the lie. So we replace it with something like, you know, I'm beautiful in God's sight. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We just find scriptures that will be the opposite of what that belief is. And then we teach the girls to speak the word over themselves. And God says that his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what it's sent to accomplish. And we teach the girls that you're as you speak the word over your life, it's so powerful. Reading it is one thing, but speaking it is something altogether different, because you begin to make a declaration of truth that will literally be light that comes in and pushes out that darkness. And it's amazing how that works. And each girl will work with her counselor. We have master's level counselors, and each girl has her individual counselor, and they have one session each week, one-on-one, and then we have a group counseling session each week as well. And so as the girls begin to identify with their counselors what those lies are, then they write those down, and then they make their own truth statements. And as they continue to deal with the issues and identify more and more what it is that's underneath the control and what's causing the triggers, they write those things down. They find scriptures and it's like faith comes by hearing the word over and over again. So as they speak God's word over their lives, faith begins to rise up in them, and they begin to experience a change on the inside. And it's just amazing how it happens. And it's what God said in Romans 12:1. First, dedicate your body to God. So we teach the girls, your body's not meant to be violated with drugs or abused with food. but you're are for cutting, self-harm, but your body is meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. So you you start by dedicating your body to God. And then the second scripture, Romans 12:2, says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Great word to end on. We're going to take a quick break, Nancy, and then we will come back, talk a little bit more about this, and I'd love to talk more about Mercy Ministries. So we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Connecting Faith on this beautiful afternoon. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today we're talking with Nancy Elkhorn. Nancy is the founder of Mercy Ministries, a free-of-charge Christian residential program that helps young women from various socioeconomic backgrounds between the ages of 13 and 28 who face life-controlling issues such as eating disorders, self-harm, drug and alcohol addictions, depression, and unplanned pregnancy. Mercy also serves young women who've been physically and sexually abused, including victims of sex trafficking. Now, many of these girls who come to Mercy for help are facing a combination of circumstances and have been in various treatment facilities with unsuccessful long-term results. So Mercy's committed to providing great programs and services that allow young women to recognize self-worth and reach potential through a Christian approach to healing, which allows young women to permanently stop destructive cycles and prepares them to take on hopes in their own community. So a great organization that tries to heal women from the inside out, which is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And Nancy, you were mentioning a few scriptures that you try to get in right at the beginning so that these young women are looking at the thoughts that they have, but you're replacing them with what God's word says as far as who they are. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. You know, I mentioned Romans 12, 1 and 2 is really powerful because Romans 1 is about dedicating your body to God. Our bodies weren't meant to be abused. They're meant to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then Romans 12, 2 talks about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so a lot of people try to resist the enemy and get him to flee without doing the first part, which is submitting to God. And that's where the surrender comes in. And a lot of the girls, too, just the physical aspects of not understanding the difference between food and nutrition. We have a nutritionist that works with the girls. We have a registered nurse. And it is a spirit, soul, and body thing. It's a spiritual battle, but it's not just that. It's educating the girls about the difference between nutrition and just junk food and how they've messed up their metabolism. And if they will begin to eat, we teach them about that too. I shared with the girls a vision that I had when I had an eating disorder and I was praying and crying out to God, you know, I want freedom. And he showed me that our metabolism is like I had a vision of a fireplace. And it was like when the fire was going strong and you put another log on the fire, it catches on immediately and it just burns and burns and burns. But the other thing he showed me is that when a fire is almost about to go out and the logs, there's no longer a roaring fire, but it's just embers burning and you throw a log on there that it won't catch on fire. It just sits there. And he said, that's what you've done to your body because metabolism is meant to be something that's like a fire that when you eat that your metabolism burns off those calories and your body operates the way it's meant to operate. But when you abuse it by binging and purging and then going long periods of time without eating, and then it messes up a girl's menstrual cycle. It messes up the ability to even later on in life have children. And so we teach our girls all aspects of that so that they fully understand the dangers of what they're dealing with so that they can be educated in that way and maybe develop a little bit of fear, not fear like a spirit of fear, but the fear of God kind of thing where I've got to deal with this or it's going to impact my future greatly.
So it sounds like first you treat the heart and you're looking at scriptures to kind of fill them with who they are in Christ and who Christ is and what power he has. And then you kind of move into the practical, how to treat your body, what is proper nutrition, and that these two elements together, as well as understanding their disease, are going to help them reach this potential freedom, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely correct. And we are seeing amazing results, and the girls walk out of there and they continue for, it's not a treatment program. It's a transformation program. And that's the difference. Mm. They are transformed from the inside out because of the power of God's word to do that. And they have to make the choice to bring the change. So that's why we call our counseling model Choices That Bring Change, because they have to, and that's why Mercy set up where girls come, because they want to come. Nobody can send them there. They have to want help, and they have to participate in their own journey to freedom.
Still, I know that if you're treating ages between 13 and 28, then there are still parents involved and people who love them, maybe have encouraged them. And in your book, Starved, you do have a section called Parents and Others Who Care. And I was just kind of stole my heart away when I read a journal entry from a mother who wrote this: I feel I have failed as a parent. What have I done wrong that would cause my daughter to fall into such deception? I don't know how to reach her, and I'm looking for something or someone to blame. I don't know where to go from here but to go on my knees. How can parents join in on this process to support their daughter who are going through this sort of transformational process?
Well, That's a very good question, and one of the things they can do is just love them. The unconditional love of a parent is just so powerful, and so many of the parents go through the anger stages where they, try to make their daughter sit down at the table, and you have to eat this, and you're not getting up from here, and trying to force like that, and that can just perpetuate the problem at times. And I can understand any parent wanting to do that, especially if you see your daughter wasting away. But it's very important to get help and to be able to say, I care about what you're going through. I may not understand it, but I love you, I support you, and I want to, walk through whatever I need to walk through with you to be able to give you the help you need. And right now we have a young lady who is in our program in one of our homes, and she is a minor, and she comes from a famous ministry family, so obviously that's a confidential matter, but nevertheless, there is a perfectionistic attitude in this family, because they are pretty, when you look at this family, you just think they are pretty near perfect because they're so godly and they're so, but the pressure of that for this particular young girl caused her to go into an eating disorder, and so at first that family, their way of dealing with it was that we're just going to keep it quiet and we're going to try to deal with this at home, and they would get on her and stay on her and all that. And God had to deal with the pride of what are people going to think in the ministry, people themselves, the parents, to get them to a place where they were willing to not care what people think, that they cared more about their daughter. And so that's an aspect of it too. Sometimes parents have to deal with, what did I do wrong? Or the other side of it is the pride of it. I don't want anybody to know because they may think I'm not a good parent. Mm. And so at the end of the day, there's a humility that's needed on both sides, just to go, I can't do this on my own, and I need help. And that is a heart-wrenching entry from that mother, because any mother would feel that way. But what I would like to say to all the parents out there who are listening is, just because your child has an issue, whether it's an addiction or an eating disorder or whatever the case may be, even an unplanned pregnancy. I mean, we've had many pastor's daughters that have walked through our doors facing an unplanned pregnancy, but whatever the issue may be, it doesn't necessarily mean you did anything wrong. It may mean you did something right, because we have an enemy that's out there trying to, take out this next generation of leaders before they have a chance to rise and fulfill the call that God has on their life. So I would just say to parents, to be able to, no matter what you may be dealing with in your children, to love them unconditionally and be supportive. And if they need help, do not be afraid are unwilling to share with someone who has the professional and spiritual awareness to be able to deal with whatever that issue may be.
That is a great word, Nancy. Today I'm talking to Nancy Alcorn. She is the founder of Mercy Ministries. It is a program for young women, especially between the ages of 13 and 28, who face life-controlling issues such as eating disorders, self-harm, drug and alcohol, depression, even unplanned pregnancy. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And this is National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, so we're trying to get the word out, not only that eating disorders exist, but that God has the power to heal. So we're going to catch up again with Nancy Alcorn in just a few minutes. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
On the next Everyday Relationships.
A guy who's hesitant to tell his girlfriend those three little words, an issue with a future mother-in-law, and a couple who don't see eye to eye on how to celebrate holidays. You recently sent us questions surrounding these topics, and we'll answer your emails again at everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com.
Everyday Relationships. Real life, real talk. Weekdays at 4 on Faith Radio.
My, how they've grown, and it has nothing to do with height. When your kids spend a week at University of Northwestern St. Paul Athletic Camp, their physical athletic skills will grow, but they'll also grow spiritually and emotionally. They'll learn from winning Christian coaches about technique, discipline, and team building, skills that won't just help them in their favorite sport, but also in life. Camps are offered for boys and girls and include basketball, baseball, football, volleyball, and soccer. To register, visit unweagles.com/camps.
Welcome back to Connecting Faith. We're talking to Nancy Alcorn today and about Mercy Ministries, which is a free-of-charge Christian residential program that helps young women from various backgrounds between 13 and 28 years old who are facing life-controlling issues such as eating disorders. This is National Eating Disorder Awareness Week, and we've just been talking about that power of God to heal and just an amazing power the Holy Spirit has that when we submit to Him, that He indeed will begin the work in us to bring true freedom. So, Nancy, thank you so much for encouraging us, and especially what you just said about parents who may have a daughter or son who's facing an addiction or an eating disorder and how it tends to make us feel like we've done something wrong, but to just not be afraid to go to people who have experience in these areas and to submit that problem to the Lord as well. You also write about maintaining this open communication because those suffering from an eating disorder often feel like they are just alone and isolated. So how can open communication help to bring this out so that they can feel comfortable enough to share with their parent that something is going on?
Yes, that's it's hard a lot of times for kids to do that, be willing to do that, but it's so important for parents to talk to their children about not just an eating disorder, but from a young age. And of course, I realize that people may be listening to go, well, I don't have such a great communication line, and my daughter's already such and such age, or my son, or whatever. But I think it's important for us all to realize that we've got to start where we are. And so, no matter what age, if you happen to be listening and your children are very young, just make it your business to always talk with them very openly about things at an age appropriate time. And more in our society, kids are learning way earlier than they need to about things because of the culture that we live in today and all the talk about the morals of society and what is considered to be politically correct that is not biblically correct. And so I think it's very, very important to have open discussion and allow your child to be able to express anything they want to say. And even if it's something that shocks you, it's very important not to react, but to respond. And sometimes that's very hard because what I tell a lot of parents, if I'm really, I've had mothers and fathers say this to me, if I'm really a good parent, why would I need to have my child come and get help at Mercy Ministries? But what parents need to realize is while it's very, very important to have open communication, it's also very important to realize that you are emotionally attached to your child and they're emotionally attached to you. And I've seen wonderful pastors of churches who could help everybody else's sons and daughters, but they couldn't help their own because of that emotional involvement, because mm-hmm. it's too close to the heart. So there's always a reaction going on rather than a response. And so I think it's important to know that, you know, that you, while you want to keep communication lines open, it's also important for part of that communication to be, hey, if you want me to get some help for you, I'm willing to do that because I'm probably not the one that's going to be able to help you, but I can support you as you're getting help. And a beautiful example of that is one of our young ladies that's in the program right now. She went home for Christmas because we let our girls go home for Christmas if they have a place to go, and if not, we find a place for them to go for 2 weeks. And her mother used to be on her all the time about, you know, don't eat this, you've got to eat this, and you've got to eat that, and you're not eating enough, and you have to clean your plate. And so our counselors worked with the parents to know how to be with her, to how to support her while she was home for Christmas. And she came back, and she was just so excited because her parents did not push her. They let her, they just supported her and talked to her openly, and if you don't want to eat that, it's fine. And so as a result of them not pushing her, she chose to eat on her own. And it was just like a huge breakthrough for that family.
Hmm. How about when I think about people maybe coming out of being at Mercy, how do you prepare them to react to all of the messages that they get through the media? How does that fit into recovery? Because we can hardly escape model clad magazines or TVs or movies always showing us what it means to be beautiful. So how do you counteract those messages and teach people to look instead at who they are and who God has made them to be, instead of feeling these messages of unworthiness that seem to be in our face all the time?
Right. Well, first of all, we're very up. We've actually brought models in and to speak to our girls, and they will flat out tell them that what you see on magazines, even though we're the one, you may see my picture in this magazine or that magazine, that those are they come in and tell them they're photoshopped. You know that this is not reality, and that the unhealthiness of you know, what's promoted to be good is not good at all. And so more and more models that are coming out of that industry are being vocal, and some have even written books about you know, what the truth is as opposed to what's promoted. And it's really like shocked a lot of our girls that what they see in movies, TV, and magazine, that's not even really real. And we had one girl that was a child model from 4 to 7. And when she was old enough to be aware of fashion and she started designing herself, she went from wanting to wear the clothing she was making to wanting to look like the models, and developed a full-on eating disorder as a result of that. And her career went on a downward spiral. She actually went to the University of California at Berkeley, and she ended up dropping out of that program and coming into Mercy Ministries to get help. And she had not had her menstrual cycle. She had not had for like months and months and months. And the doctors told her that she would never be able to have a child and so on and so forth. And she was greatly influenced by that. But she, while she was in the program, we helped her realize, and she knew because of even starting modeling as a child, the truth about what all that was about. But she had never accepted Christ. So she received Christ. She began to speak the word over her life. She began to identify with who she was in Christ rather than who she was. A very beautiful girl. But, you know, and any one of us would have looked at her and say, wow, I would love to look like her. But yet she had this self-hate thing. and self-loathing thing, and we were able to help her through the power of Christ and the power of identifying with what the Word of God says rather than what the fashion industry said and what she thought about herself. And so God not only began to heal her heart and help us get to the root causes, but he also began to help her love herself. You know, the Bible says that we are to love others as we love ourselves, and she had all this self-hate, so we had to deal with that. And as she went through the program, she began to surrender that control and the anger and came into a place of freedom. And that was, she probably graduated from Mercy, I think, about 8 years ago, and she decided to go to school and become a cosmetologist. And she is now working at one of the top salons in her city. It's a very large city. And she also met her husband. God healed her and restored her body and her ability to have a child. And she is getting ready any day now to have her first baby. And she just loves her life now. But she had to, we had to literally take the truth of God's word and purge all those lies out.
It just seems like a never ending process that those messages are just so prevalent, and not only in our society, but just through what we look at, through what we see, and through how we feel, that Satan is, you know, there to kill and destroy all that God tells us that we are. And for an impressionable young girl, it seems like a never ending process.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you wrote about were just some additional ways that as a parent, maybe you could be aware of. Do you find that mainly it's parents or someone who loves a young girl finally convincing them that they need help? Or is it a girl coming to a point where she's hit rock bottom and makes that choice for herself? How does someone come into your program? And then how long does that program last?
Well, the average length of stay at Mercy is around 6 months, but if a girl needs 9 months, that's fine. I mean, it's kind of like when you go into a hospital for whatever sickness you may have, you know, every patient needs a differing amount of time. So basically we look at ourselves like the staff that decides when a girl's ready to go home, but the average is about 6 months. And as far as the process of how they end up getting to Mercy, it happens a number of ways. Sometimes there's interventions with family. Sometimes there's intervention with school counselors. There's a lot of young ladies out there who have great friends that love their friend enough to speak truth to them, and that's a whole nother aspect too. But I know even in my life as an adult who runs a ministry, I value my friends who are willing to speak truth to me and say, hey, I see this in your life that you need to deal with, or I'm concerned about this or that or whatever. And I think we all need people like that in our life. And we've actually had, particularly girls who live in college dorms that have friends that will just go, hey, you're in trouble and you can't keep living this way. You've got to do something. So it happens a number of ways. It might be parents, families, youth pastors, counselors at school. But basically for a girl to come into our program, she has to realize first step to getting help is I've got a problem. And second one is I'm willing to go and get the help I need.
If there are parents who want to learn more about what an eating disorder is and maybe what they could recognize as far and how to help, do you have some resources and how can you direct them?
Yes, so you could go to our website. It's at mercyministries.com. That's mercyministries.com. And not only are there amazing testimonies, link lots of them on our website, but there are also a list of resources that are available that you can order, and some teaching that you can order, and also our phone numbers listed if anyone's out there and in need of help and you feel like you need a residential type program such as Mercy Ministries. There's also a way you can go on our website at mercyministries.com and download an application. We do take the girls in free of charge. But it's not, obviously we have a great staff that are trained professionals that, and we feel like that we want, in order to get the best, you know, we have to pay them what they're worth. So it does cost us to run the program. So if anybody is out there and you want to become a supporter, you can go on our website and find out how to do that as well, because we do not take any government funding at all, so that we have the full freedom to share Christ. And our commitment to the girls is that we want them to come free of charge, because they need to know that we're not trying to make money off their issue. And that trust is a big, big thing, when it, especially with eating disorders, but really with any life-controlling issue. Trust is a big thing. So for the girls to be able to look around and see that we're not trying to make money off their issue, it's a big deal to them. And they realize, you know, that the, there's nothing in it for Mercy. They're just doing this because they want us to be free. And so thankfully, our partners, monthly partners and those that support us, make a way for that to happen every day. Mm-hmm. And all of our facilities, 4 in the United States and 3 internationally.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes left, Nancy. Would you just be willing to pray for those who maybe are listening today, who either God has really spoken to their heart that they are indeed affected by an eating disorder, or for those who know someone who is, and that God would just give them the courage to speak up?
Sure. Father, I just thank you right now. We just come to your throne. Your word says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive your mercy and to find help in our time of need. And I thank you that you are a God who understands and loves and cares for us, and that you're willing to meet us right where we are. And I pray for anyone out there who's listening, maybe you're dealing with this issue yourself, or one of your loved ones, or a parent who's hurting because of their child who's having to walk this journey and desperately in need of freedom. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would bring encouragement. Your word says that you are a God who, when we come to you, that you will give us peace that passes all understanding, and that peace will rule over our heart and our mind. And I pray just for that peace to come. Lord, I pray that you would give hope. Your word says in Jeremiah 29:11, these are the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. And Lord, I thank you for the hope and future that you have for every person who is experiencing bondage, that they can choose life, they can choose freedom, and that it is not something that has to control them for the rest of their life, but there is a way that we can surrender those areas to God, and that you will bring freedom and you'll bring peace. And Lord, I pray for every person that they would understand that it's not an instant thing, but it is a process, but you're willing to meet us where we are and walk us all the way through the process. So I pray for that peace. I pray, God, that you would intervene in every situation where our listeners are dealing with whatever they're dealing with, that you would meet and intervene and be with them as they begin their journey of freedom. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as a result of this program. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much, Nancy, to end on that word. And we'll have links to all of Nancy's resources that she mentioned on our website at myfaithradio.com. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Joe.